It's Marketplace Tech for Wednesday, August 24th. I'm Molly Wood in Emeryville, California, filling in for Ben Johnson. The Hewlett-Packard Company reports quarterly earnings after the bell closes today. HP's share price fell by half last year after the company broke itself into two smaller companies, and it hasn't recovered much. One of those companies is doing corporate consulting and enterprise technology. The other is still making the printers and desktop computers you're used to thinking about when you think HP. So how's that part working out? Gigi Duban reports.
In the printing world, there's an old running joke. And if you've ever bought cartridges or toner, you'll get it.
The money is in the ink. And it was more than a joke. It was true.
Glenn O'Donnell, analyst with Forrester Research, says that hasn't changed. Printing made up 17% of net revenue last quarter, according to the company. But HP is also the second biggest PC manufacturer after Lenovo Group.
I don't believe we are in a post-PC era. We are in a PC plus era.
One where people use PCs along with mobile devices. True, but Patrick Moorhead, president of Moore Insights and Strategy, says even as Dell was growing, HP got smaller.
The big idea here has been getting small to get quicker and to be more innovative and nimble.
Last quarter, the company launched its first 3D printing systems. I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
What if I told you that the city of Baltimore had been the subject of a secret surveillance project where low-flying planes used cameras to watch citizens and help the police solve crimes without anybody knowing about it? And what if I told you that's not the first time that's happened in the U.S.? Oh, and that the program in Baltimore was privately funded by a billionaire-turned-philanthropist and former hedge fund manager who made his millions at Enron. This is not the plot of a new fall premiere on one of the cable nets. Monty Real is a reporter with Bloomberg. He reveals this story in the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week. I asked him earlier about the program.
Yeah, it's been basically going on since January, and it's a program that's run by a company out of Dayton, Ohio. It's called Persistent Surveillance Systems, and this is a company that's been around for several years, and it was started by a guy named Ross McNutt, and he used to work for the Air Force and developed this technology. It's basically an array of cameras that goes, is affixed to a plane. And the cameras collect just an image, a continuous image of an area that's about 30 square miles.
Tell me about how this technology is being used for police surveillance.
Before the Baltimore program, they had done very brief temporary trials, essentially, for several police departments. But when those programs were made public, there was quite a bit of citizen protest, and those cities didn't end up adopting it. Baltimore started doing this in January, and they kept it quiet. And the money for this came from a private donor. So that means that no public hearings, for example, were held. They wouldn't talk to me, the Baltimore Police Department.
Is this legal? What are the legalities of surveilling citizens from the air without their knowledge?
Well, the company cites a couple of Supreme Court cases to show that it does have legal basis. And the cases that they point to, there was one from 1986 from California. The question was whether the police could fly over a man's property to see beyond his fence, to see if he was growing marijuana. And the Supreme Court decided that they could. They backed the police and they said that any member of the public flying in public airspace would have been able to see what the police did. So they said that essentially that was okay.
Clearly, from your reporting, it seems that cities and police departments find this technology really useful. It clearly exists. It's probably been used in some other places that we don't yet know about. I mean, do you feel like this sort of future of constant surveillance is inevitable?
You know, if this does become adopted on a widespread basis, you know, it's going to have to be something that is publicly known and transparent. As the ACLU, Jay Stanley said to me, he said, you know, there's just something visceral about an eye in the sky. To know that something is flying over your head and taking pictures, people react to that differently, he said. And so I think that debate, it's just hasn't been had yet.
Monty Real's story is in the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Monty, thanks for the time.
Thank you.
Recently on our sister show, Marketplace Weekend, I interviewed John Marion, the president of a company called Logos Technologies. It also makes aerial surveillance tech that was used to monitor the Rio Olympic Games. You can hear that story on our website, marketplace.org. Also, Google says it's cracking down on pop-up ads on our behalf. The company says it's changing its search rankings to bury sites that use annoying mobile advertising. You know the annoying ads I mean. You're reading a story and all of a sudden an ad pops up, covers the whole page, and maybe some of this happens.
Which you are you? Be the you who doesn't cover your moderate to severe plaque psoriasis.
Be the ad that doesn't cover my page. And then, of course, the only way to close it is with a tiny little X that you can barely see, much less find with your darn finger. Google will specifically target ads you have to get rid of before you can see the page, ads that try to install apps, and mobile sites that show a large ad at the top of the page, and those are the absolute worst because they often show up after the rest of the page has loaded, and then you accidentally click on them when you are just trying to scroll.
You need a website. Why not do it yourself?
I don't need a website. I just want to read this site. Choose from hundreds. Now, to be fair, Google says some types of ads will be exempt, ads that aren't too big or if they pop up to verify your age for legal purposes. And Google says a high-quality site won't necessarily show up lower just because of its pop-ups. The changes will take effect January 10th, 2017. Marketplace Tech was produced today from the Reveal Studios at the Center for Investigative Reporting. I'm Molly Wood. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.